Welcome to episode number 462 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep the five-star reviews coming there. We always appreciate that. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter, TheSportsRPT. We have got a James Taylor Final Four. You know JT, right? Fire and Rain. Well, he also had a song, Carolina in My Mind. Both North and South Carolina are headed to Arizona for the semifinals. Gonzaga and Oregon will be there too. Now, I picked UNC to win it all. Otherwise, my bracket belongs in the dumpster. How's your bracket looking? I don't know that too many people are doing real well right about now. I am a huge Frank Martin fan, so part of me is rooting for the Gamecocks, even though I did not pick them. I don't know anyone outside of South Carolina who did it, to be honest. And how awesome was the North Carolina-Kentucky finish? That is the game of the tournament so far. Two blue bloods going toe-to-toe, and there will be a Roberts rant on the way in regards to the final seconds of that game. I have gone off on this topic before, so it should not surprise you. I also may have a new favorite NBA player, and this will probably surprise you. And Joe Thomas speaks out about Colin Kaepernick. We'll tell you what the Pro Bowler had to say. The latest on the Vegas Raiders. Plus, a special hoops shout-out at the end of the show. All of that on episode number 462 of the Sports Report podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Paul Roberts keeping you company on Mondays. 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. And if you hear anything that you want to weigh in on, you can do it on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. I think the general consensus about this NCAA tournament is that it's lacked excitement. Not a ton of upsets. And people love to cheer for the little guy. You love to root for Rocky, right? And although Xavier was a number 11 seed, they're still from a power conference. You know, they're not a true little guy. Same for Michigan and South Carolina, both number 7 seeds, but they're power conference teams. We haven't had a whole lot of buzzer beaters either, or, you know, miracle shots, you know, the Bryce Drew type of shot. Sunday, though, we got treated to a classic. North Carolina, the number 1 seed in the South. Kentucky, the number 2 seed. The Heels did not play well in the first half, still up 5. And with 3 minutes to go in this game, it was all even. And I didn't have a horse in the race. You know, I did pick Carolina to win it all. And my cousin went to North Carolina, got to see Rasheed Wallace and Jerry Stackhouse play down there at Chapel Hill. But I am not a North Carolina fan. You know, I went to Syracuse, so I root for the Orange. So I'm just looking for a close game. And we got it. And then some. Carolina goes up 7. Barry hit a jumper, and this was not his best game. I know he's banged up, but had some costly turnovers. Obviously, the ankle not 100%, but he makes a jumper. Pinson and May made a couple free throws, and now it's 71-64 with 54 seconds to go. It's a 7-point lead under a minute. You're thinking, this baby's over, right? No. Fox and Monk, who are two electric players for Kentucky, they hit 3-pointers, and bam, it's 71-70 with 40 seconds left. In the span of 15 seconds, it goes from 7 down to 1. Now we have a brand new game. Justin Jackson, one of the elite players in the ACC this year, he put Carolina up 3, then he missed a critical free throw to keep it a one-possession game. It's 73-70. Now to the Roberts rant. You know me. with a 3-point lead in the final seconds, I am always screaming foul as loud as I can, over and over and over. You're up three, late, foul. The Tar Heels did not. What happens? Monk nails a three, and now we have a tie game. He took that shot with 8-9 seconds left. So a bit of a gray area. I would still foul there. If it's 5 seconds or less, I am definitely fouling up three. 100% sure, no doubt, no debate about that. Yeah, there are still a lot of coaches who I just think are stubborn about this. They just will not change their ways. And a 3-point shot in college, it's 20 feet 9 inches. All right? It's only a foot back from the high school line. It's a very makeable shot. The best shooters at the Division I level, I mean, heck, you have some guys over 50%, but you have plenty of guys who are at 45% from three. So just playing the percentages, why would you want to risk that? Just foul. Send them to the line. And as long as you can rebound, you win. It's that simple. I don't get it. And please, please, please don't bring up the potential 4-point play. They make the first, then the rebound gets tipped around, gets thrown out, and they make a three, and that's a 4-point play. Now you're down. All right, I hear about this. I have never seen that happen. And I watch as much college basketball as anybody. All right, we've discussed this. I'm the lunatic who's watching the West Coast Conference, the Zags and St. Mary's at midnight, or the Mountain West. Okay, that's me. I love my college basketball, college hoops junkie, so I watch a lot of games. Never have I seen a 4-point play at the end of the game. After a made free throw, then missed free throw, then 3-pointer. I've never seen it. So fouling is the smart play, period. Carolina did not. Monk made him pay. Roy Williams wisely did not call a timeout after the made three. You call a timeout there, what are you doing? You let the defense set up. So he played that part of the game right. Theo Pinson drove to the bucket. He kicks it out to May. Splashdown. And this is a great story. You even heard Coach Williams after the game joking about the fact that he wanted May to redshirt or to walk on, at North Carolina. I wanted him to be a walk-on. And now he's saying, hey, this kid can play. Step backs, drills a jumper with 0.3 seconds left. Absolute dagger from the 6'8 sophomore who's from Huntersville, North Carolina. He only plays 14, 15 minutes a game, averages 6 points, 4 rebounds, but he stepped up large in this game. He had a career-high 17 points against the Cats. And no way is Kentucky expecting that. No chance. And I saw some great film of May going into his 8 o'clock class Monday morning after he makes the game-winning shot. He's got class at 8 a.m. And he was there. He was on time. And they gave him a great ovation, the other students in the class. And that's what you got to love about college. That's really what I miss. I mean, you know, this time of year, it's a special, special thing. I remember one year when Syracuse made it to the Final Four, my freshman year, John Wallace and a bunch of guys who were okay, not superstars. And everybody just rushed to the quad. And it was just, it was party time. I mean, those are memories that you just don't forget. Heading down to Marshall Street at the Cuse. Anyone who's gone to the Icarie Dome to watch a football or basketball, I probably spent a little time either before or after on Marshall Street. Those were the days. Oh, boy. So Jackson has 19 points in the game. Barry had 11 despite dealing with an ankle injury. He rolled that early on. And when he did that, I thought, uh-oh. And you could see him go back to the locker room. But he toughed it out, kept playing. Played over 30 minutes in the game. And then North Carolina hurt Kentucky inside. matching up with Meeks, this guy had 17 rebounds. 17 boards. That's like Moses Malone. So you have Meeks, you have Hicks inside. Difficult to match that. And that's one reason why I picked the Heels. You cannot teach size. You can be the best coach in the galaxy. You can't teach size. And they have it. So North Carolina on to the Final Four for the 20th time. That's a record. The early game on Sunday, also a nail biter. Not nearly as much hype or buzz, but a good game. 14 lead changes, 10 ties. It was 70-68 in favor of South Carolina with 50 seconds to play. The Gamecocks made a bunch of free throws, and then Dwayne Notice sealed the deal with a dunk with 10 seconds remaining. The bench went crazy. They were up 7. That came off of a steal by P.J. Dozier, who had 17 in this one. 77-70 the final, and for the first time, the Gamecocks are going to the Final Four. Until this year, South Carolina had not won a tournament game since 1973. I was -4 at the time. Sindarius Thornwell, probably one of the better players in the country that people don't know about. 26 points, 7 rebounds. One of the stars from the SEC. And I give a ton of credit to Frank Martin. I mean, he is the definition of tough. No nonsense. Looks like a drill sergeant on the sideline. I've said it before. If I'm in a dark alley and something's about to go down, I want Frank Martin on my side. I'll feel a lot safer with that guy. So, you know, you can tell that he gets on his players and he's tough. But his kids play hard for him. I mean, they really, really do. I don't think they're the most talented team. They have 10 losses in the season, but they play hard. And you see, our society lacks accountability. I brought this up before. And Coach Martin's all about that. If you're not willing to work hard, don't go to South Carolina. Now, his fashion taste, not so sure about that. Some of the jackets. But he clearly gets his message across when it comes to hoops. And I think there's a fear factor there as well. Whatever happened to that show, by the way? Remember that Fear Factor? You had to like eat worms and stuff. It was just disgusting. I don't know if it's even on anymore. I love the quote from him over the weekend, by the way. This was making the rounds on social media. Martin said, quote, "You know what makes me sick to my stomach? When I hear grown people say that kids have changed. Kids haven't changed. Kids don't know anything about anything. We've changed as adults. We demand less of kids. We make their lives easier instead of preparing them for what life is truly about. We're the ones that have changed. To blame kids is a cop-out." Refreshing to hear. I'm telling you, I love this guy. Love Coach Martin. Our world needs more discipline, more accountability, better work ethic. And he's not afraid to say it. No, sir. Both games Saturday were double-digit margins. How about number 3, Oregon? Taking it to number 1 seed, Kansas, 74-60. Wow. Kansas had just destroyed Purdue by 32. And Purdue's not bad with Swanigan inside. I mean, that was a team that was playing well. I like the Ducks a lot this year. But when Chris Boucher tore his ACL, I decided to take Kansas instead. I had Kansas-Oregon in the regional final, and I was about to take Oregon until Boucher got hurt. Then I changed my mind, put Kansas moving on in my bracket. Story of my life. Oregon put 44 on the board against Kansas in the first half. Tyler Dorsey had 27. He was 6 of 10 from 3. KU shot 5 of 25 from 3-point land. Not going to win like that in a regional final. And Bill Self. I mean, sometimes the numbers just don't lie. Bill Self is 2-7 in Elite Eight games. 2-7. And 4 of those losses were as a number 1 seed. You know, it's not like he's got some group of underachievers here, some Cinderella story. He's losing with number one seeds. It's a phenomenal program, but they're tough to trust with Self at the helm when you get down to the nitty-gritty here. Oregon's in the semis for the first time since 1939. Jeez, man, oh man, been a while. Gonzaga's in the Final Four for the first time ever. The Zags hammered Xavier 83-59. The Musketeers shot 35% as a team, 2 of 16 from 3. Ouch. But you have to credit Gonzaga's defense. I mean, if you look at those defensive efficiency numbers, I mean, they're number one in the country, so they can guard you. Plus, they shot 12 of 24 from deep. Gonzaga had not shot well in this tournament until this game against Xavier. Nigel Williams-Goss had 23. This was a mismatch. So, we're down to 4. Gonzaga against South Carolina, UNC and Oregon. These games will be Saturday out in Arizona. Who do you got? Who do you like in the Final Four? Are you going to go with Gonzaga or South Carolina or North Carolina against Oregon? As much as I like Frank Martin, my fear is if they beat Gonzaga, that the national championship game is going to be a blowout. That's my fear there. I think if Gonzaga wins, you'll have a better national championship game. Maybe you disagree. Let me know on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. Send me your predictions. I'm at TheSportsRPT. Rolling along on episode 462 of the Sports Report podcast. You can find us on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv, and in the podcast section of iTunes. Just search for The Sports Report with Paul Roberts, and there it is. You can go back and listen to previous shows as well. We have some coaching news. Less than 24 hours after UCLA head coach Steve Alford pulled his name out of the equation, Indiana hired Archie Miller, who had been at Dayton. He takes over for Tom Crean, who was fired after missing the NCAA tournament 5 times in 9 seasons. Do I think that Tom Crean is a bad person? No. Do I think that Tom Crean is a terrible coach? Definitely not. However, at a school like Indiana, when you miss the tournament 5 times in 9 seasons, there's the door. I mean, there are certain schools that's not going to be tolerated, and Indiana is one of them. But again, I don't think that Crean is a bad coach. Miller is only 38. Heck, he's my age. Big basketball family, and did well with the Flyers. School record 4 straight trips to the NCAA tournament. Won 24 games in each of those 4 seasons. And the last 2 seasons, he's won the Atlantic 10 regular season championship. He was a hot name, a trendy McTrenderson name out there. Everybody was talking about him. You know his older brother, Sean. He's in Arizona. By the way, another tough loss for him. I mean, how do you lose to Xavier? And the way that game ended, Arizona just cannot score. Wow. Talent-wise, that's one. Gotta win. As for Archie Miller, his team's known for, you know, being physical, hard-nosed, you know, tough teams. That's been the MO with him at Dayton. Once Alford was out of the mix, this wasn't a big surprise to me. So Indiana has its new head coach. What do you think? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Patrick Beverly. Not talking about the Beverly Hillbillies. Patrick Beverly. And you young kids, you millennials, Google Beverly Hillbillies. All right, you'll get a kick at it. You'll probably say, this was on TV? What the heck is this? I bring up Patrick Beverly of the Rockets because he may be my new favorite NBA player. Why? Well, he ripped the trend going on in the NBA right now where players are just sitting out. Called it a disgrace to the league. after the Rockets beat Oklahoma City on Sunday, Beverly said, quote, "I think that's bull blank. Leave it to your imagination. I think the fans deserve better. I could care less about coaches asking players to rest. It's up to you to play or not. And if you don't, you're disrespecting the game. There was a time where I wasn't playing in the NBA and I was just trying to get here. So me resting, I feel like, is disrespecting me, disrespecting the name on the front of the jersey and the name on the back of the jersey." End quote. And you remember these Saturday night games, national TV, Golden State sitting everybody, Cleveland sitting its stars. Did not go over well with the commissioner, Adam Silver. He sent a memo out to the league's owners telling them to get involved in the decision-making here. Said it was an extremely significant issue for the NBA. The Rockets have not rested players. In fact, James Harden, who could win the MVP, he has not missed a game this season. The bearded one. And he's been dealing with a sore wrist. It was wrapped in tape after he left Sunday's game. Beverly has missed some games, but he also had surgery on his left knee. He had a quad contusion and soreness in his right wrist. So he's had some injuries. And he did say, "We understand you can't play all 82 with injuries and all of that, but if you're feeling okay, you should play. That's what you get paid for. That's what fans deserve." So two thumbs up from this guy for Patrick Beverly, who's known as kind of being a pest in the NBA, a bit of an agitator. I'm just overjoyed to hear a player blast what's going on. You know, if it's somebody in the media, not a huge deal. I mean, I would expect that. But for a player to do that, he's right. It's a total joke. And who's the loser? The fans. The fans are the big losers because you're paying for the ticket. You're paying for parking. You're paying to eat. Your kids want souvenirs. They aren't cheap. None of it's cheap. And then you get there and who are you watching? The stars aren't even playing. And now your kids are really ticked off. So nice job by Patrick Beverly. This is episode 462 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv and in the podcast section of iTunes. If you have a second, give us a nice 5-star review. That only takes a second. We like that. Now, last year, let's get to some football here. Last year, you may remember that there were reports that the Browns were after Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick, now a free agent. But we haven't heard anything from the Cleveland Browns about picking him up. Joe Thomas, who's on Twitter a lot and is a Pro Bowl left tackle for the Browns, he weighed in saying that NFL teams no longer consider Kaepernick an elite cornerback, and his political stance of taking a knee during the anthem was too much for a player who is not a starter nor a star. And Kaepernick, it doesn't seem, has much interest from any NFL teams. Here is the tweet from Joe Thomas. Quote, "Teams don't currently view him as a starting quarterback, and NFL teams accept zero distractions from their backup QBs." Now, when Hugh Jackson, the Browns coach, was coaching the Raiders, he said that he wanted to draft Kaepernick in the worst way. I mean, that was 6 years ago. And Pro Football Talk, which is a well-respected site, they reported a year ago that the Browns were willing to trade for Kaepernick. That deal fell through when he would not reduce his salary from $12 million. This year, it's been the sounds of silence. Simon and Garfunkel. I mentioned James Taylor. Now I mentioned Simon and Garfunkel. There, some good stuff. And the Browns, as we know forever, have had a question mark at the quarterback position. Now, Kaepernick said he will stand going forward. He sat or kneeled for the anthem throughout last season, but he just hasn't played that well. To his credit, I want to mention this. He did recently donate $50,000 to Meals on Wheels, and he also donated $50,000 to help starving people in Somalia. So, you know, I don't want to just bash the guy, but this is very, very simple here. Colin Kaepernick isn't accurate enough. 59% the last two seasons. Being mobile is a bonus. That's the cherry on top. But the game at the NFL level, we're not talking about college here where you can run, you know, the read option and things like that. At the NFL level, it's played from the pocket. There are small windows to find your wide receivers. And you have to squeeze that football into the tightest of spaces. He has a rocket for an arm. I'm not going to question his arm strength, but he's not accurate. No touching his ball. Everything's a missile out there. It's coming 150 miles an hour. And he's going to be 30 in November. Bottom line, if he could play at a high level, he'd be on a team. They would put up with the distractions. But if you're not good enough, you're gone. Just ask Tim Tebow. All right? Super nice guy, but could not play quarterback in the NFL. This is not rocket science. No need for a big debate. No need to scream and yell. Why hasn't anybody picked this guy up? The NFL is a business. We should always remember that. They can make their own decisions. They don't feel he's good enough to put up with anything else. That's their prerogative. And on that business side of things, the Raiders are moving to Las Vegas. I mean, that's one of those names. Does it sound right? Vegas Raiders? I mean, you're so used to Oakland. Vegas Raiders. NFL owners voted in favor 31-1, which begs the question, who was the one? It was Mr. Ross, the owner of the Dolphins, who opposed. The Raiders are not going to be going to Sin City just yet, though. A $1.9 billion dome stadium is not going to be ready until 2020. Oakland, the third team in 2 years to relocate. Rams and Chargers have moved to L.A. Now Oakland moving to Vegas. Maybe if I lived out in Oakland, this would be a bigger story to me. But I'm on the East Coast. You know, I'm about an hour from Philadelphia. So to me, this just isn't that big of a deal. If you're a lifelong Raiders fan, I get why you're annoyed and I get why you're ticked off. I understand that. But here on the East Coast, you know, it's news, but, you know, you don't hear the anger, the animosity from a lot of fans because they're just not into the Raiders. But you can let me know what you think about the move to Vegas. So Vegas is going to have an NHL team and an NFL team. How about that? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. Real quick racing note. Kyle Larson, who had finished second in the three previous races, he finally won this weekend. He won the Auto Club 400 in Fontana, California. It's just his second career victory, but I had to mention it because he was second. And he did win over the weekend. Brad Keselowski was second, Clint Bowyer third, but the story there, Kyle Larson. Now my hoops shout out. I live outside of Reading, and if you've played Monopoly, you know the Reading Railroad, right? Okay, that's the city I'm talking about. It's in southeast Pennsylvania, about an hour from Philadelphia. I work at a radio station in Reading. The high school in the city just won the state championship in Pennsylvania in the largest classification. Reading's actually the largest high school in the state. You might think, oh, there's got to be a school in Pittsburgh or Philly. Nope, it is good old Reading High. They call it the Castle on the Hill. A great place to watch a game, the Geigel Complex. But anyway, they've been playing basketball at Reading for 118 years. They have a phenomenal tradition. Pete Carril, the Princeton coach, He coached at Rennie High School. Stu Jackson, Danielle Marshall, probably recognize those names, both from Rennie High. All right. They've won 20 Central Penn League championships, 22 Berks County championships, 20 District 3 titles. The way it works around here is you have your county playoffs or your league playoffs, then you go to districts, and then finally states. So they've won everything else but a state championship. And again, they've been playing hoops for 118 years. They have more wins than any boys basketball team in the state of Pennsylvania. More than anybody. 2,097. And the final one came Saturday night at the Giant Center in Hershey. They had a record crowd, 9,500 people. It's almost a sellout. And the Red Knights of Reading High able to hold off Pine Richland High School 64-60. Really, really good game. Pine Richland is a suburb of Pittsburgh. It's north of Pittsburgh. Their junior quarterback is headed to Notre Dame, Phil Jurkovic, and he plays basketball too. He averages like 17 points, 9 rebounds. He can play some hoops as well, but he's going to Notre Dame. He's one of the top junior quarterbacks in the entire country. He's already committed. But Reading wins it 64-60. Reading led by Lonnie Walker. If you follow college basketball recruiting, you know that name. He's a top 20 player in the country. He is a top 5 shooting guard. He has committed to Miami. He'll play for Coach Larrañaga. He told me that was the big reason why he decided to go there. He had offers from everybody. His final five, Kentucky. In fact, I saw pictures over the summer. John Calipari was at a barber shop in Reading. How about that? Kentucky, Arizona, Villanova, Syracuse, and Miami, the final five for Lonnie Walker. And he decided to choose Miami because he likes Coach Larrañaga so much. Said he cares about him not just on the court, but off the court as well. And you can see Lonnie Walker in the McDonald's All-American game. That is coming up on Wednesday in Chicago. And then next month, he'll play in the Jordan Brand Classic in Brooklyn. I've interviewed him many times. I've covered a lot of his games over the last 4 years. Great kid. Credit to his family, relatives, friends, because he answers things yes, sir, no, sir. This guy signs autographs after games. And when they returned to the high school after winning the state championship, he signed autographs for like an hour. It's unbelievable. He's like a rock star in Reading. So I do want to give a shout out to the Red Knights of Reading High. The waiting game finally over. What's 118 years among friends, right? So they capture their first state championship. Good for those guys. Now that'll do it for episode 462 of the Sports Report. Thanks again for tuning in. Please spread the word about the show to your friends, your coworkers, anybody who likes sports. You'll find me on Monday here, 30 to 40 minutes. GrizzlyProductions.tv. That's .tv for the Grizz. And of course, in iTunes. Have a terrific week, everybody. Hey, the baseball season is a week away. I'm loving that. Get some MLB action going. I'll talk to you again next Monday. This has been episode 462 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv.